Oh, how we need to always remember that, that even tomorrow, whatever your difficult circumstance might be, you need to say to yourself, I say to myself as well, I'm headed toward victory. I'm not headed toward defeat. And the reason I'm not is because I'm following the Lord.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Well, good day, everyone, and welcome. Let's get right into Pastor Bill's study today. He'll be teaching from Joshua chapters 3 and 4. He's titled this message, The Stones of Gilgal.
Amen. Let's turn tonight to the book of Joshua in the Old Testament. We're going to cover chapters 3 and 4 and talk about the stones in the Jordan and the stones of Gilgal. The book of Joshua is all about possession, and it's about taking what God has promised. And we take everything that God has given us, we take it by faith and appropriate it by faith. Unbelief always says to sit still. Unbelief always says go back and be safe. But faith says, no, I'm going to reach forward and possess what God has given us. So finally, after all this time, after they leave, remember, the 400 years of bondage and in Egypt and so forth, can you believe it's finally time, after all the books we've covered up to this chapter, now it's time for the children of Israel to enter into the land of promise. And that's what they're going to do tonight. 40 long years of waiting. Now, chapters 3 and 4, you can't separate those. They go together, the crossing of the Jordan and the remembering of this great event tonight. It's important that we remember something, that Israel, just like us, really, we've crossed over, they crossed over into a new future. Now listen carefully, with nothing but the promise of Almighty God. Amen. Oh, and that's how we cross over too. We trust his promises. We know that they're true. Beginning tonight in verse 1, chapter 3. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from the Acacia Grove. Remember, that was the place where they're encamped at, or the encampment. And they came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. So the spies have come back from spying out the land there in Jericho and so forth with Rahab. And they came back, and remember what they reported unto Joshua there in chapter 2, verse 24, the last verse. And it says, they said to Joshua, oh, truly the Lord has delivered all the land into our hands. For indeed, all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us. And now Joshua is getting ready to lead the nation. Some people say it was only 1 million people. Others say that there was 2 million plus. I don't know, but there were, I know, at least 1 million people. And here they go. They're 7 miles to the Jordan River. And verse 15 tells us that the Jordan is now at flood stage, so it's overflow its banks. And I'm sure that they wondered, all of them, saying, you lead us right up to the edge of the Jordan River. How in the world are we going to cross over? And so it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, the priests, the Levites, bearing it, or literally carrying it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it, go after the Ark. So the Ark of the Covenant, now, you know what it means. We've studied that out. It represents, of course, the presence of Almighty God, his very divine presence. And it's mentioned now for the first time in Joshua. There in the Ark of the Covenant that contained the two tablets, which were the Ten Commandments, the Aaron's rod that budded and so forth, and the golden jar or pot of manna, and then the mercy seat on top. And what you saw there would be the blood, because the blood that was shed was poured out on the mercy seat and so forth. The Ark was always carried on poles by the Kohathites, and it could not be touched, remember. Whoever touched it would die. And so as they're going this way, it says, and yet there shall be a space between you and it, meaning the Ark of the Covenant. And I'm talking about a lengthy space. Look at this. About 3,000 cubits by measure. That's a healthy distance, wouldn't you say? That's 3,000 feet. That's nearly a mile. And so God says, no, you need to stay away from it. Don't even come near it. Look at it, but don't come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go. This is the only way they could do it. For you've not passed this way before. You know, the only way of crossing the Jordan to go into the land of promise, they had to follow God. They had to follow the Ark of the Covenant. And it was a new path. It wasn't some well-worn path or like that, because God is taking them and leading them where they'd never been before. So what does God say to do? He says, and Joshua said to the people, now consecrate yourselves or sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. To them, to sanctify themselves, remember, was to wash their clothing, to wash their bodies and so forth, to prepare to cross over. It's a time for a brand new beginning. There's nothing better than a new beginning with God. Amen. You know, aren't you glad that His mercies are new each and every morning? No matter what you face, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you feel, God is always there to strengthen us and so forth. And so they're going now where they've never gone before, and they're going to do what they've never, ever done before as well. So tomorrow the Lord is going, it says, going to show wonders, or literally amazing things. And that one of the amazing things that God is going to do, besides all the miracles, God now, for the very first time since they had left the land of Egypt, He's going to lead them in a brand new way. Look at verse 6. So Joshua spoke to the priest, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant, cross over before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. You know, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Numbers, and so forth. How did the Lord lead the children of Israel? A cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. Now the Lord is leading them a new way. He says, I want you to follow the Ark. That's, you know, the Ark represents our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen? And only Joshua, only Jesus can get you through. And so, and the same thing with us. You know, what's so wonderful? We don't have to figure out which way to go. All we have to do in our life is simply follow the Lord. What did Jesus tell us in John 8:12? He says, I am the light of the world, and he who follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Jesus said in Mark 1:17, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. In Luke 9:23, remember what Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. That's all we have to do, is follow the Lord. And sometimes I think we feel that following the Lord is so difficult, but it's not. It's the way to life. It's the way to victory. Everywhere God leads us, everywhere Jesus leads us, He leads us to victory. Amen? That doesn't mean we're not going to have warfare. It doesn't mean that your kids won't need braces, okay? You understand? It means that we live in a fallen world, but He's the only one that can get us through this fallen world. Now, with all that in mind, He said there in verse 7, and the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to make you great. What a word from God, or exalt you. It literally means to make you great. It says, I'm going to do it in the sight of all of Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, I will be with you. And when we get over to chapter 4, verse 14, we're going to find out that's exactly what the Lord did. He fulfilled His promise here. But don't miss this verse, because see, Joshua's claims to power, to success, to greatness, all of these things God just said, he hasn't done anything to accomplish it on his own. It's all because God said what? I will begin to make you great. It all belongs to the Lord. What did Jesus tell us in John 15:5? He said, without me, you can do nothing. Boy, isn't that a true word? We try to do so much without the Lord. We try to cross over this Jordan or that problem, climb this mountain, go through this circumstance. And the fact is, all we need to do is say, Lord, I can't do it, but with you, I can do anything. Amen? And that's what that's all about. So God equips us and He empowers us. And you shall command the priest who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you've come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. So Joshua said to the children of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, by this you shall know that the living God is among you. And that, look what He will do. He will do without fail. He will drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites, and all the otherites. Amen? Joshua said, you know, all those people who trust in dead, lifeless, false idols, all these seven nations, God says, I'm going to drive them out. You know, isn't it amazing that, you know, the people who worship so much today, so many things today, but there's only one God. There's only one true living God, and he's our Father. How wonderful to know that. So here God says, I'm going to drive them out. Have you learned in your life that you don't defeat your enemies? You let God defeat them and then go in and take the land. The battle is the Lord's. And he just says here, you know, he's not calling them to defeat their enemies. He says, I'll defeat them. You know, that's why Paul told the church at Ephesus in chapter 6, verse 10, it says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Not be strong in our own intelligence, and nothing wrong with being intelligent, but, you know, our own wisdom and our own strength and our own self-sufficiency. No, he said, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. That is strength that you possess tonight. Whether you use it, realize it or not, you have it right now if you're in Christ Jesus. Amen? Now, Joshua, well, he was a true leader. You know what I love about him? Is that, see, he didn't exalt himself. He exalted the living God. And so our God tonight, he's much more than just the God of Israel. And he's much more than just the true and living God. Look what he is in verse 11. He says, behold, the Ark of the Covenant, meaning the presence of God again. He says, behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. That word means literally there in the Hebrew, master. The master of all the earth is crossing over before you into the Jordan. I'm going to ask you a question. Is that a faith builder? Boy, I look at that and I say, oh, the Lord of all the earth. Does that mean that the Lord of all the earth does whatever he wants, whatever he pleases? Can anyone stop him? No. Listen, no one can stop him in Canaan. No, he is God. He is the master over all the earth. You know, Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and all who inhabit it. Everyone who has breath, everything on the earth belongs to God. I think he can handle our problems. Amen? I think he can handle our enemies. You know, there is a secret side of me, is that whenever I have those that say come against me, and I know that they're wrong. Now, if they're right, I say you're right. But if you're wrong, I don't necessarily tell them that they're wrong, but I just sit there and look at them and I say, you're getting ready to be squished. Squished. What's the word? Hello? You're digging yourself a pit, and you're going to fall into it, believe me. Because, see, no weapon formed against me will prosper because I belong to the Lord. You can't attack me from the rear because the Lord is my rear guard. You can't attack me from the front because I have on the armor of God. And not only that, I have the shield of faith that will quench every fiery dart of the wicked one, Mr. Devil. You see what I mean? Oh, we don't have to fight. All we have to do is stand. Stand in the truth of God's word. And now, therefore, take for yourselves, in verse 12, 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man for every tribe, from every tribe. And it'll come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest who bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, look what'll happen now, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, and that the waters that come down from upstream, they shall stand up as a what? Heap. When's the last time you used that word? Not hemp, heap. You know what I mean? You understand? No, as a heap. And so it was when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan with the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And as those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan and the feet of the priest who bore the Ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all of its banks during the whole time of harvest. So we know from chapter 4, verse 19, that this is a time of harvest. It's the March, April, okay? And so most of the year, the Jordan is only like 100 feet wide. But during the flooding season, the harvest time, it's over a mile wide, okay? Think of that. And verse 16, that the waters which came down upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zeraton. So the waters that went down from the Sea of Arabah, the Salt Sea, failed and were cut off, and the people crossed over opposite Jericho. Have you ever seen water pile up? Have you ever seen a wall of water? Listen, I look at that and I say, oh, Lord, here's what I always like about the Lord. And this is something I know that's happened to you. And God, I believe, always does this. You know, when we set out to do something, you know, we're full of the energy and faith and all of that. But, you know, there's times when we need a visual. There's times when God gives us a visual, and he does so to increase our faith. Can you imagine 2 million people standing there on the banks of the Jordan? It's a mile wide, and all of a sudden, it's cut off, and it goes upstream. The water of the Jordan goes all the way upstream, 18, 20 miles away, all the way to the city of Adam. Would that get you going? And I'm going, Lord, this is so incredible. And you know, the Lord, when he divides a Jordan for us, it's not so he tosses us to the lions, man. He divides it so we can go in and possess the land and take it. And I look at that, and I'm so thankful for the Lord and how he gives us visuals in our life. And just when you think you don't know how to go on, or there's not enough money at Calvary, I'm not saying that that's the truth, or not enough, that's a pretty good word, that must have been the Holy Spirit, and you know, or not enough at LNFI, or what, or not enough in your back pocket, you understand. God always comes through. It may not be what you think you need, but it is what you need. Because God knows exactly what we need. He never, ever will fail us. Never. He'll never leave you without support. And if he does, he's teaching us something. You understand? He chastens those that he loves. If you're not being corrected in your life, then maybe you don't belong to the Lord. God, you're so good. And so all the people, he says, listen, I'm the living God. You see those waters, I've given you a clear path to go all the way across. And look at verse 17. And then the priest who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord God stood on what? Dry ground in the midst, right in the middle of the Jordan. And look what happened. And all of Israel, all 2 million people, or how many there were, they crossed over on dry ground until all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan. So right there, finally, they are finally in the promised land. Man, God is glorified, and Joshua is being exalted, and Israel's being encouraged with a visual, and the Canaanites, oh, they know they're coming, and they are melting. Their hearts are melting from fear. Look at chapter 4 now. It says, and it came to pass when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, take for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the midst or the middle of the Jordan, from the place where the priest, or the exact place where the priest stood firm, their feet stood firm. Now you carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. We'll learn in a minute that's going to be Gilgal. And then Joshua called the 12 men whom he appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, cross over the Jordan. In other words, I want you to go back now to the middle of the Jordan before the ark of the Lord, your God, in the midst of the Jordan. And each one of you, you take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign or a miracle, a wonder among you, that when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean? And I'm going to answer that question, what they mean to us, in just a little bit. It says, then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant and of the Lord. And when it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be a memorial, a reminder, if you will, to the children of Israel forever. A reminder of God's incredible power. And the children of Israel did so just as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones from the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord spoke unto Joshua, according to the number of tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them to the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. So these 12 men, which represents the 12 tribes of Israel, they go back after the children of Israel had crossed all the way over. There's the Ark of the Covenant. There's the priest and the Levites. There's no water. It's backed up 20 miles away. And they gather up stones that had not been seen before. And they put them on their shoulders, and they carry them 8 miles all the way to Gilgal. And that's where they place them and set them down. Now, listen, that's where they're going to camp that night. And this would be the first memorial, if you will. These heap of stones would be the first memorial built in the land of Canaan by the children of Israel. And Gilgal, as we'll learn later, will become like the center of operations or the command post for Joshua. It's located about 2 miles away from Jericho that's going to fall in a couple of chapters. Now, Joshua does something that is so strange now in verse 9. And, you know, we're not told that the Lord God commanded him to do it, but I believe in my heart that God did. And if God didn't, maybe Joshua asked the Lord if he could do it, because there's a specific reason which we'll make application later on. But let's look at verse 9. Look at what he did. And then Joshua, he himself, he set up 12 stones where? Right in the middle of the dried up Jordan River, in the exact place where the priest who bore the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are here to this day. I'll come back to this verse in a moment. So the priest who bore the Ark, they stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord God had commanded Joshua to speak to the people, according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua. And the people hurried, and they crossed over. And then it came to pass, when all the people crossed over, that the Ark of the Covenant and the priest crossed over in the presence of the people. So the priest and the Ark were the first ones in, and they were the last ones out until all the people were protected, until they'd crossed over. And the men of Reuben and Gad, half the tribe of Manasseh, look how they crossed over now, very important. They crossed over armed, prepared for war, armed before the children of Israel, as Moses had spoken to them, about 40,000, and they were prepared for war. They crossed over before the Lord for battle to the plains of Jericho. Only the men of war there from Reuben and Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh, only those crossed over the Jordan into the promised land. The rest of their families and the older men who were too old to go and fight, they remained there on the east side of the Jordan. You know, and I look at that and I wonder how in the world they must have felt. There they saw all the people, all say 2 million cross over, and there is Gad and Reuben and half the tribe of Manasseh, the ones that are left, except the guys that went to fight, okay? And then the Jordan fills back up, and they're cut off. I mean, do you think there might have been somebody over there said, I wish I'd have gone in? Amen. You know what? But no, they wanted to stay on that side. Remember why? Because they had much livestock, and they loved that part of the land. It was very fertile and so forth. And they settled for less. They stopped short of what God wanted for them, and so they stayed there. But you know, we have to cross over into our Jordans that God gives us. And we have to cross over armed and ready for battle. Amen? And the thing is that we need to know tonight is you can't take the land unless you go into the land. That's why we're going over there. Amen? That's why we're going to love people and bring the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And, you know, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 2:14, it says, now thanks be to God who always, not sometimes, who always leads us in victory or in triumph. Listen, every place that God is leading this church and leading you, no matter how difficult or easy, if you're following the Lord, listen, He is leading us always in victory. Amen. Oh, how we need to always remember that even tomorrow, at whatever your difficult circumstance might be, you need to say to yourself, I say to myself as well, I'm headed toward victory. I'm not headed toward defeat. And the reason I'm not is because I'm following the Lord.
Well, that's all of our time for today, but no worries. Pastor concludes this message on tomorrow's program, and we hope to see you once again. We want to thank you for listening to Love Never Fails, and enjoy the rest of your day.
Hey, everybody, it's Michelle Pallor, and I want to invite you ladies to the Clothesline Women's Conference. It's May 9th. It's from 9 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. at Calvary Fort Worth. It's called the Clothesline Conference. It's $25, and we are going to give the Lord an opportunity to get us unstuck. He's fully able. I've been doing this for a long time, and I've seen it over and over. So please come and bring your friends. We have a lot of fun at the Clothesline, a lot of laughs, music, food. Oh my gosh. Can't wait to see you May 9th, and we'll have a great time. God bless you.
If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org. or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.